Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a Primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This program is brought to you weekly by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. Stay tuned for today's message.
Good morning and welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. We're very thankful to have you tuned in with us here on the program. And on behalf of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, where I pastor at, as well as Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church outside Caledonia, Mississippi, we're very thankful to have you tuned in. We invite you to come see us on Sunday mornings, 10:30 a.m. in Ackerman and in Caledonia. Come and see us on Wednesday night as well in Starkville, Mississippi. We have a worship service every Wednesday night. And we would love to have you come out and fellowship with us and meet you and visit with you. If you listen, we'd love to hear from you. Please email us and visit our website, gospel-of-grace.com, as well as macedonia-pbc.org. This morning, we would like to continue our consideration together of the Christian's responsibility to government. So we hope that you would stay tuned with us here today and hope this message is instructive and informative for you, for us to consider God's establishment of government, the purpose of government, and how we interact with the structure of government as Christians attempting to serve the Lord in humility and live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Hope that you'll stay with us here today. We'll bring this message for you right after the song.
To God and to the Lamb,
happy Lord's Day again, and we are very thankful to have you here with us on the program, and we'd like to continue our consideration and meditation together from the Word of God on the Christian's responsibility to government and the right biblical perspective of government authority and government institutions according to the Word of God. So we've tried to consider together with you God's establishment of government and His authority in government and the purpose of government. The purpose of government primarily to be to protect God's people from the unchecked depravity of the wickedness of man. And praise the Lord that He has established something, a sword, the sword of law enforcement, the sword of government that makes the wicked think twice before they might be tempted to injure or hurt God's people. So God has ordained that government and that authority. And today we want to focus on an aspect of our responsibility as humble Christians that desire to live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We have a responsibility outside of the most extreme circumstances to submit to the authority of government. And as we find here in 2 Peter chapter 2, to submit to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Let's turn there and read that together. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. So the Lord tells us here to submit to every ordinance of man for what purpose? For what purpose? For the Lord's sake. And then he says, whether it be to the king, and again, this is somewhat of a similar structure to have in America. We have the federal level, which is over all the nation. We have the governor, which is over the state level. For me, the state of Mississippi, then you have a more local level. So whether it be an ordinance at the federal level with the king, whether it be an ordinance of the state level of a governor, it is our responsibility, outside of the most extreme circumstances, to submit to every ordinance of man. Notice it says in verse 15, for so is the will of God. You know, people always say, well, what's the will of God for my life? What's the will of God for my life? Well, one aspect of the will of God for your life is to submit to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. To pray for your leaders, to honor the authority and the structure that God has ordained for your benefit, even if there is a tremendous overreach. Now, there's a place, praise the Lord, in America. The Lord has been so gracious, and I think it's very important for us to take this time to take a pause to just thank God for His providence in America to give us First Amendment rights of protection, of freedom of speech, the freedom of assembly, the freedom of religion, because there are many of God's people that did not have those privileges and they followed the dictates of their conscience and they were tremendously injured by those in positions of authority that misrepresented what they were there to do. Again, God ordained government, but anything that He gives to man, we're going to mess it up, right? That's just what we do. God ordained something as good and wholesome and right, and we take it and we corrupt it and we mess it up. So there have been many of God's people that have been persecuted by those in government authority. And we do not have as much danger of that in America because of the wisdom and the providence of the Bill of Rights that God gave us and the establishment of America. And we just need to take a moment and praise the Lord for His tenderness and love toward the church and the kingdom of God, to where we have the legal right to, in an orderly and respectful way, speak out against things that we don't believe are right and appropriate. Okay? Praise the Lord for that. But many of God's people have not had that privilege. So that's not to say that every ordinance of man, you don't follow your legal authority to speak out, to write things, to have freedom of assembly, to find many different avenues of how we can let our government leaders know that this is not the will of the people. We do not believe this is the right thing to do. Praise the Lord for the authority that we have to do that. But even that, it needs to be conducted decently in order, in a godly way. But at the end of the day, we are to submit to the law of the land. We are to submit to the ordinance of man, and we need to certainly be willing to exercise our legal right to bring that to their attention. You know, we'll probably deal with this more in depth in later messages, but the Apostle Paul, in all of his injustices, he exercised his legal right every step of the way. And when it got to the point where his rights were being infringed upon, he said, "I appeal unto Caesar." He had a legal right that he enacted that he used to make sure that he had the right audience to defend his case in the right setting. So we need to exercise every legal right that by the providence of God we have been given in America, to do it respectfully, to do it with our speech always with grace and seasoned with salt. But at the end of the day, we have a responsibility to not be anarchist. It's the wicked that despise government. It's the wicked that speak evil of dignitaries. It's the wicked that incite rebellion, okay? We are, as the people of God, to submit to every ordinance of man. Romans chapter 13, let's read this again together. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Let every person respect the authority of the higher powers and submit to every ordinance of man. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be ordained of God, the structure of government. Now, is every, just like how every leader is not ordained of God, is every policy of those in positions of leadership or government, is every one of those of God? Well, of course not, right? And we need to exercise our legal right on many of those to make sure our voice is heard, and maybe even in a legal way to have that overturned, to gain support for legislative action, to have that overturned. But we have to follow the legal course to do that, not to be anarchist, not to incite rebellion, but to pray and to exercise our legal right. The powers that be were ordained of God, we don't want to, as it says in verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. We don't want to rebel against the ordained structure of God. Exercise your rights, but those have to be done in a way that's respectful and God-honoring. At the end of the day, we submit to every ordinance of man. That they resist shall receive to themselves damnation. I mean, if we act like the world and we incite violence or rebellion, we're heaping to ourselves damnation, you see? We're heaping to ourselves damnation if we act like the world. We don't need to act like the world. We have to act like the children of God in every circumstance. Even when we are exercising our right, make sure our speech is always with grace and seasoned with salt, to do it in a respectful and a God-honoring way. Verse 4, he is the minister of God to thee for good, and if thou do evil, be afraid. You see, God ordained the purpose of government that the wicked would be afraid of the sword, for he beareth not the sword in vain. He is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, to submit to the authority of government. You must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but for conscience sake. You know, God wrote his laws in your heart. God's not in your heart telling you to overthrow the government, okay? Your conscience tells you to submit to every ordinance of man. For this cause pay ye tribute. We're going to save the subject of taxes for a message in and of itself later on. What's our responsibility to taxes? To pay the taxes that you owe. Now, you don't need to be committing tax fraud. You have the right to exercise the legal deductions and the legal mechanisms that are allowed to you, according to the tax code, to reduce your tax liability. But at the end of the day, it's your responsibility to pay what you owe, even if you feel like what you owe and the taxes are excessive. You know, you have avenues. You have legal avenues to bring up the fact that I believe these taxes are excessive. You have legal avenues that I believe that we need to reform the tax code. You have a mechanism in America to bring those concerns through the appropriate legal channels. You can't just say, well, I'm a child of God. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm not going to pay taxes. You want to know where that's going to end you? Tax liens and maybe even jail, okay? You don't have the right as a child of God to say, I'm not going to pay taxes. Now, don't pay more than you owe. I'm an accountant. I don't do taxes that much anymore. I did back in the past. But hey, I will say, go find you a good accountant. Don't you pay one penny more than you owe. But what you owe, it is your responsibility to render tribute to whom tribute is due. That's verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom is due. And also fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Okay? So, again, taxes is a really hot button topic. We'll save that for a later message to make sure we deal with that in depth. But it is your responsibility to submit to the ordinance of man, even tribute, even custom. Now in Titus chapter 3, verse 1, put them in mind. He's telling Titus, remind the church. You're a minister, Titus. You need to tell the church, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers and to obey magistrates. To be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10, those that walk after the flesh, one of the specific identifying marks of those that walk according to the flesh, that walk after this world, one of their identifying marks is they despise government. They despise government and they speak evil of dignities. We find the same thing in Jude verse 8. They despise dominion and speak evil of dignities. Now, praise the Lord that we have the right to voice disagreement in a God-honoring way according to our rights of freedom of speech in the First Amendment in America. But don't ever lose sight that the wicked are primarily characterized by speaking evil of dignities and despising government. And it's vitally important. Listen, there have been plenty of people that have occupied the White House, that have occupied other positions of leadership, whether that be a state governor or a local mayor, that don't make decisions according to the dictates of Scripture, that I certainly do not support their policies. But I have a responsibility to respect the office of government leadership that they are in, even if I, you know, on a personal level, do not like that particular person. I don't believe they're a moral person. I don't believe they're a godly person. I believe that their policies are not in accordance with the Word of God, that their policies are patently unscriptural. I still have a responsibility as a child of God to respect that office, even if I vehemently disagree with the moral character of the man or the woman that occupies that office, and even if I disagree with their policies that are not in accordance with the Word of God. It is unbecoming of Jesus Christ. It is unbecoming of a child of God to go around and just speak evil and to speak like the world, to use ungodly speech, to use cuss words, or even to insult someone's intelligence or insult someone's family. It is dishonoring to the Lord for us to speak evil of anybody. And it's especially dishonoring to the Lord to speak evil of dignities, to speak evil of those in government authority. And I will also present for your consideration, I have fallen into this trap, okay? You know, we have a presidential leader, President Biden. I certainly haven't agreed with his policies. Many of them have been not in accordance with the scriptures. But it is sad that he has had cognitive decline, and I have Alzheimer's in my family. You know, I wouldn't want someone making fun of my grandmother that had Alzheimer's, my great aunt that had Alzheimer's. I mean, they reached a physical condition where they weren't able to remember things the way they used to. And hey, I've made some derogatory joke. I've shared some derogatory memes. I've said things I shouldn't have said in making fun of a man that had mental decline, that he couldn't help that, okay? And it's vitally important that we always focus on the policies. Don't focus on the man. But even in circumstances where we disagree with a policy, we have a responsibility to respect the office, even if we don't have a tremendous amount of respect for the character of the person that currently occupies that office. Okay? And it's not becoming of me as a pastor or even as a disciple of Christ for me to speak evil of those in high positions of leadership and just to run them down in a personal sense. Now, I have every right to exercise my legal right to say they are supporting this policy and it is directly contrary to the Word of God. I have every right to do that by my constitutionally protected right. But listen, it is not becoming of a child of God to speak evil of any man, right? That's what we're told. Titus chapter 3 and verse 2, to speak evil of no man. And furthermore, it is certainly unbecoming of a child of God for you to start a riot, to be no brawlers. It is not becoming of me as a pastor. There's a place for getting a permit. There's a place for maybe protesting in a respectful, God-honoring way. There may be a place for that, but there's never a place for violence, right? There's never a place to be a brawler. There's never a place to speak like the world in all this wickedness and cussing with my mouth. Listen, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. These things ought not to be, right? From the same fountain come forth good water and evil water. No, of course not. We have to control our speech. And also, yes, we need to control the words that come out of our mouth, but you have to be extremely careful, child of God, for how you conduct yourself in an internet age on social media, the things you send in email, the things that you share on social media. We do not have the right to speak derogatorily of the individual person of that office. Always focus on the policy and on the decision, never on the person. Okay? It is not appropriate for us to speak evil of dignities. We can exercise our right, our legal right in the right realm, in a respectful and God-honoring way. But listen, be very careful about derogatory memes you share on Facebook and on Instagram, okay? I've fallen into that trap, and that's not becoming of our Lord. I mean, before you click share, you really need to think that old phrase that was so popular when I was back in high school. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Would Jesus make fun of a man's cognitive decline that he can't help? I don't tend to think Jesus would, okay? Now, exercise your legal right to disagree with ungodly policy decisions, but listen, we do not need to speak evil of dignities. We do not need to incite rebellion and anarchy. We do not need to despise government. We do not need to be brawlers. We need to pray for government, that we can live a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now, we'll come back to this in the next message, Lord willing, but I want to just kind of place this in your mind before we come back and deal with it more in depth. Jeremiah 29 and verse 7, he tells those people there in captivity, you pray and seek, don't just pray, but seek the peace of the city wherewith I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof ye shall have peace, right? So, we need to pray for America. We need to pray for our country, because the stronger law and order system we have, the safer God's people and the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is, right? The stronger our legal system is, the more we have protection from the wickedness of the world that hates us. In the peace of the city, you're going to have peace. Which furthermore, I mean, if you get out and you lose your emotions and you are a brawler in some protest that you're having, well, what's that going to do to you? You're going to end up in jail, right? And you don't want to end up in jail. You want to end up in jail anyway, but what a tremendous destruction of your witness in your community if you end up in jail. But you punch somebody in a protest that turned into a riot, right? That's dishonoring to the Lord. And furthermore, if the city has peace, you're going to have peace. Well, if you act like everyone else, you're not going to have peace either. That's what we find in Romans 13. If you rebel against that, you're going to heap to yourself damnation. Okay? So we'll come back and visit that again in Jeremiah 29 in greater depth. Because in the peace of the city, you're going to have peace. And that's what we find there in 1 Timothy 2. We want to pray for those that are in authority. Why? That they would leave us alone, they would protect us from the wicked, that we can just simply live a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I'll just conclude with Romans 13 and verse 2. Whosoever resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. It's not appropriate for us to rebel against the structure of government, but to submit to every ordinance of man, to exercise our legal rights, but to submit to every ordinance of man. And if you choose to not do that, there's a good chance things may not turn out that well for you. If you resist against it, you may receive to yourself damnation and judgment. You may even find jail time. Okay? So be respectful. Be honorable. Our speech is always with grace, seasoned with salt. To not speak evil of dignities, to not despise government, to not be a brawler, but instead exercise our rights with humility and grace and respect for authority, and to submit to every ordinance of man. We hope the Lord blesses you on this Lord's Day, and that He will bless and keep you in His will and mercy. May God bless you.
Greater than all my sins.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your area. Visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com to search for a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find additional contact information. This program is also available on iTunes under podcasts with the title, The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Baptist radio broadcast. If you enjoy our program, send us an email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. Come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30 and tune in next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray that God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, our Lord. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus.